fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. It's my joy to be able to invite a good friend, Father Bob LaCroix. Father Bob is the pastor of the Church of the Holy Family in Novi, Michigan. He's been there for about 5 years, and I've known Bob for many years, and the Lord's using him in many ways to extend his kingdom. I asked Bob to come in and just share both his story of how he really came to the Lord and why he's in the church and why he's a Catholic priest, and we're also going to talk about different kinds of things that he's seeing the Lord doing in his own parish at some point during this week. So welcome, Father Bob.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you for taking the time. Really great place to start, as I mentioned. Why don't you just share with our friends, how did you come to really know the Lord? When did you live radically as a Catholic kind of your whole life, and what happened? I've never even heard your story, really.
I'm one of seven kids, grew up in the 50s and 60s. We all went to Catholic school. Growing up, I say I would no more have thought of not going to church on Sunday than I would have gone to school in my pajamas.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just, that was a given.
Yeah.
But it really, the religion part didn't really connect. I mean, I was an altar boy, and we said the rosary in the family regularly, and my two older brothers went to the seminary out of ninth grade. I said, I'm never going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got older, it just didn't seem to, like, matter much.
Yeah.
I stopped going to church, stopped believing, stopped following the commandments. It was the late 60s, and I was in high school. I had some friends who I started to hear were getting into religion, and I didn't see how somebody could really do that. I used to go to the Young Life high school events to check out the girls. But they talked with enthusiasm. I can remember this guy who wasn't really a popular guy and really wasn't one of my best friends telling me he prayed over somebody with a withered hand and it grew back.
Hmm.
I don't think the guy was crazy.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not familiar with stories like that. And somewhere in the back of my mind is saying, if he can do it, why can't I?
Hmm.
Because I was not connected. I was happy. I was a good student. I was going to law school. I had good friends, loved the weekends. And I was driving to school one day, and I'm saying, really? Is this all there is?
Even though you were doing the things you thought were going to answer that question for you, it still didn't quite answer the question.
It wasn't really a question I asked about. I was just doing everything someone was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I think it was a moment of grace. And I was just saying, is this all? And then I looked around, what else more is there? I guess this is all that there is. And then it wasn't that I was unhappy. It was just, really? Is this all? And then the Lord sort of provided an opportunity one day because I remember my brother who had talked to me about knowing Jesus and praying more and reading the Bible with enthusiasm and a kind of personal conviction that I hadn't heard. I mean, he was the religious one in the family, so this was in character for him, but still it was a new element. And I said, I just got to go down and see him. You know, I mean, maybe this God thing, there's more to it than I've heard. I went down. It was, you know, a prayer meeting. I thought...
Was it at University of Michigan?
It was at the University of Michigan, mm-hmm. basement of St. Mary's. I thought, actually, the speaker heard from my brother that I was coming and was giving this to me.
He was giving a talk that sounded like he was speaking directly to you?
I actually thought that.
Yeah.
Dick told him I was coming, he's talking to me, and these other 300 people are here to see if they can get something out of it, too. That was really because he was talking about Peter stepping out of the boat in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm, and walking on the water because Jesus said, come. And I said, is that possible? And I said, if that's possible, I want to do it. because I felt like I knew what was going on in Peter. I said, how does somebody get out of the boat? That's not a normal action. But something drew him out. And I knew something was drawing me. And I said, am I going to actually take that step? Am I going to ask God, if you exist, show yourself to me? That, to me, that was the question. Is there somebody to pray to, or is there? I didn't think there was. But if there was, I knew it was going to be good, and I wanted it. I just didn't think it was possible. Then I started getting all this input. And then that night, I asked the Lord, if you're real, show yourself to me. And my life just started to change. I started reading the Bible. I started reading a couple of books that, you know, my brother and his cohort recommended. I couldn't put the stuff down. I asked for everything that anybody told me I should. I asked for more of the Holy Spirit, and I asked to know Jesus. And one night I prayed for 5 or 6 hours, and Jesus was so real. So real. I started to cry because I had a conviction of my sins. I said, I've blown it. You know, I've mocked Christ and ignored him and taken my blessings for granted. I had a tremendous conviction of sin, and then I just started laughing after crying. Literally. See, I'm saying, oh, hey, that's the cross. I get it. And really, my life changed.
Yeah.
I threw away hundreds of dollars worth of marijuana. I prayed on Friday nights instead of
getting high,
looking for the hot, biggest parties. With joy. With so much more joy than even the things that I thought I liked the best gave me.
Yeah.
And started associating with people who had experienced similar things. I was one of those folks who just naturally could not keep quiet about what happened.
You started sharing the faith, sharing the experience, talking to people about Jesus.
Before I even knew that was something that was encouraged or you were supposed to do, because I actually couldn't keep quiet. I didn't want to talk about anything more than my astonishment at how real God was and how good God was and how easy it was, easy and hard at the same time.
Yeah.
How accessible God was to those who reached out.
Yeah, going back to that meeting that your brother invited you to where you know, felt like the speaker was speaking directly to you, right, to come out of the boat. And so when you said taking that step to come out of the boat, you described was, if you're real, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. And were you thinking at the time also, I don't know if you're there, but at the same time, I've got all these other things I don't know if I want to get rid of. They're here in the boat, and I want to stay with those things in the boat instead of stepping away from some things into you. You know what I mean? Was that part of your thought process?
Absolutely. I was not certain at all I could do this. Mm-hmm. I said, I want to know you. I mean, I just know that. If God is real, I want to know God. I didn't think, I wasn't sure you could know God, but what I was sure of is I couldn't do all the stuff that you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I didn't actually have a lot of desire to do all the stuff you're supposed to do. I had a real openness to God. I was sure I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But then part of what I was hearing was, if God is real, then he will give you power to do what he asks you to do. And I said, well, that'll be another deal breaker.
Yeah. Either you get that or you don't, right? If you get it, great. If you don't, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I'll know soon enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But it didn't become, I mean, it just wasn't an issue.
Yeah. I think one of the things that people are surprised by, I know I was, when you think about changing your life, you think about the fact that often, while I'm not very spiritual, those things don't look very attractive to me, and I don't know how people can actually do all that stuff. Why did they pray every day, make sure they go to Mass all the time, and start living a different way of life and saying no to all kinds of things. But in that moment, we don't know what we don't know, and that is we don't know Christ and the joy of knowing Christ and the power that he gives us to follow him.
I was not a spiritual guy. And in fact, one of the hardest things for me to do was to talk to people who knew me and say, hi, I'm going to church and I believe in God.
Yeah.
I could share with strangers and casual friends, but my mom, you know, my dad, I started going to church. I didn't think of myself as a spiritual person. The opening was, I had this thought that got me to that prayer meeting. What if God is real and I missed it? What if at the closing moments of my life, I actually had this sense. I'm on a rocking chair. I'm, you know, 78. I'm happy. I'm rich. I'm retired. I've helped a lot of people. I've done all the good that I can do. I actually had an image of myself smoking a pipe.
Yeah.
And suddenly realizing that I had been resisting God or not working with God. And I could say, no. I mean, it was a crushing possibility of disappointment that at the end of my life, I would have missed what's most important. And I said, I have to be sure. I don't want to find out then that there's nothing else.
Yeah.
I'll just try and see it if there's nothing else now.
Yeah. And as you describe that experience, which is a moment of grace, to be able to think about the last moments of your life and the meaning of your life and whether God exists or not.
It was a moment of grace in which I didn't understand grace and wasn't praying. It was just God's intervention.
And then you did the key thing is you acted on it. You took a step forward. See, I think God comes at us in different times in our lives. He gives us these moments, you know, where he draws near and he whispers and he helps us think about things. And he's prompting us to use our freedom to take steps to move toward him. And a lot of people don't. Those things go by, and they might have come at different times in your life
It's very scary.
Yeah.
It's getting out of a boat
in
the middle of the lake, in the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Brother Bob, we just have a minute left. I wonder if you just take a few seconds and just maybe pray for friends who are listening right now who may be right where you were. And God's calling, reaching into their hearts right now. We just have a few seconds, if you could just lead us.
Lord Jesus, you are real, and you are infinitely good. And the same love that had you leave the Father's side and had you say yes to the cross, that same love now wants to rush into and persuade every heart that is open to more, every heart that is looking for what is good and true, every heart that longs for their life to have meaning and purpose. You can do that, and we ask you to help those looking to find you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Bob. Friends, tune in again tomorrow. We'll be here again with Father Bob to hear more of the story. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.